Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. End zone, it's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know, that's
the Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at Play Like a Jet 1. And it's time for the Chronicles of Narnia with the man who this show is named for. He is the resident stat geek and co-founder over at JetsXFactor.com, Mr. Michael Narnia. Michael, what's going on, buddy?
Just like everyone else, just trying to figure out the ways to find some positives in this. Honestly, just looking to finish this off, take advantage of this, make sure we get something worthwhile out of this season.
Michael, since you mentioned being positive, as we get into the key stats from the Jets' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs in Week 8, let's start with the good. And the good mostly involved the pass protection from the offensive line. Mekhi Becton and George Fant did really well, and so did Greg Van Roten, who, believe it or not, is actually starting to play pretty well, even though he was terrible early on.
Yeah, Greg Van Roten has really picked it up. I mean, first four games of the season, he didn't even seem like much of an upgrade over Brian Winters. He was, in both phases, losing pretty frequently. I mean, there are things he brings to the table in terms of his fundamentals. His pass protection is really good last season. As a puller, he's really good in the run game. But first four games, those things weren't really clicking, and he was struggling in both phases. But last four games in pass protection, only two pressures allowed, zero against Kansas City. He's allowed none in three of his past four games. So he's really improved the past four games and started to look more like what I think the Jets thought they were getting, which is just a decent starter, which is probably more than what a lot of people expected. But he kind of was a decent starter for the Panthers last year, and he's starting to look like that. And then Mekhi Becton and George Fant, only one pressure apiece against the Chiefs. For Becton, this is just another really good performance for him. The Bills game is probably his worst of the season. Joe Blewett talked about it, the film of that one, a lot. Even though he had some highlight plays, he did struggle a bit in protection. But it was still, even though it was his worst game, he was average in that one. So it's just a testament to how good he's been. Then he bounces back here against the Chiefs and plays really well for the most part. So just continuing a great season. And then for Fant, he's kind of been alternating between these really impressive performances, and then he's had a couple of down games against the Cardinals. He struggled a bit, the Bills last week. But the Dolphins game at left tackle, he was great. Broncos game. And then now this game. So overall, he's been average this season, I think, which is definitely a lot more than I expected. And I think what the Jets were hoping to get out of him, and definitely the best he's shown to this point of his career, but definitely some consistency would be good from him, because there have been some games where he's really struggled and there's been games where he's looked really good. So consistency is going to be big for Fant going forward.
Consistency is also going to be big for Darnold going forward, but this was not one of those games where he consistently produced, especially downfield.
Yeah, yet another game of very limited productivity for Darnold. And then look, in this one, this was a game where he did not have that much available to him. The receivers were not getting open. And the pressure early was bad, but throughout the game, the protection did get better, with especially at tackles, at the tackle spots and guard. But downfield, he still, there were some shots he had a chance to hit. I think there was one to Jeff Smith he missed, a couple of other ones. But he's only 1 of 4 beyond 20 yards in this game, 3 of 9 on passes of at least 10 yards downfield. So it definitely was an unproductive, inaccurate game of downfield passing. So I don't think this was Darnold's worst game of the season. It was not good, and I would probably call it bad, but they didn't help. They didn't give him too much to do. But at the same time, he's just not finding ways to make big plays like he would in some games last year, like the Bengals game, the Ravens game. I bring those up a lot. He, in those games, there wasn't a lot available to him, but he found ways to make money throws in tight windows to get something going. And in these games this year, he has not been able to do that, save for literally maybe one throw a game. He's just not finding ways to lift the team up like he did in quite a few games in his first two seasons.
Something that's not helping Darnold is perplexing decisions in the passing game, and the fact that he was missing two of his best receivers. Rashad Perriman out, as was Jamison Crowder. Braxton Berrios took Crowder's role and did not do very well. And then you look at the decisions when it comes to the targeting. Denzel Mims got 3 targets, and Berrios, who we already established was not very productive, had 11. I can't understand this.
Yeah, this is one of the most interesting. I mean, this coaching staff on a weekly basis does some interesting things, to say the least. But in this game, you've no Crowder, no Perriman, and Mims showed you quite a bit in that first game. Played well, led them in receiving, should have posted a lot more yardage than he did if Darnold could have given him better throws, hit that touchdown in the flat. Then you come into this game, and he only gets 3 targets, only 1 in the second half. 2 of those were in the first quarter, and he still led them in receiving. With only the 3 targets and 42 yards, 2 catches both in the first quarter, but 11 targets for Berrios. I mean, they're feeding him bubble screens, which he never did anything with. And I just don't understand what Berrios has shown you to warrant touches in those situations. There's just no reason to call those. He's not an elusive guy with the ball in his hand. As a receiver, as a punt returner, he's solid, but it's a completely different position. So I'm not sure why they're feeding so many touches to Berrios. And then Mims deserves a lot more than 3 targets. And of course, part of it can be Darnold for not finding him. Part of it could be Mims for not getting open. But when you look at the all-22, the Jets definitely are. They're just sending him on a lot of vertical routes that never really panned out. Not really because he wasn't creating separation, but just because the concept wasn't getting him open. So the coaching staff, obviously Loggins calling the plays, was not doing a good job of calling the right plays at the right times to get Mims open. And they also could have done more just to get him a touch in the backfield, throw him a screen pass, see what he could do, give him an end around. There are just a lot of ways to manufacture touches for a guy who has 4.38 speed. It definitely doesn't make sense to give him only 3 targets. And again, it's a combination of things, but ultimately Berrios, 11 targets, 34 yards, Mims, 3 targets, 42 yards. Pretty much sums up everything you need to know about who should be getting the touches right now.
You mentioned how Braxton Berrios hasn't been very elusive with the ball in his hands. He's not the only one. LaMichael Perine having the same problem.
Yeah, so far, LaMichael Perine definitely hasn't shown you really any traits to be excited about. You've seen, I guess, a little bit of everything. There have been moments in pass protection where he's looked good. He's had a big run here or there when the blocking has been good, but in terms of making guys miss, that definitely, which is probably the number one thing you want from a running back, that's definitely not something he's shown so far. He's only been credited with 4 broken tackles over 49 touches this season. sixth fewest evaded tackles per touch this season out of 63 qualified running backs, even less than Frank Gore, who's about middle of the pack. So definitely you, and this was a question with drafting P. Ryan. There were other running backs available who might have had lower floors, might not have seemed as pro-ready as him, but they just had higher upside in terms of speed, the ability to make guys miss, contributions in the passing game. Although P. Ryan did contribute in the passing game with the Gators quite a bit, it wasn't really as a receiver so much. He did make some plays, but there wasn't a ton of versatility to his game, explosion, upside. So he was a high floor, low ceiling kind of pick, and that's the kind of player he looks like right now. And if you can get that out of a fourth round pick, if you can get a Bilal Powell, you know, that's solid. But the Jets definitely, it doesn't seem like he's a long-term starting running back, and the Jets can definitely swing for the fences a bit more at this position next offseason.
Michael, we are about to discuss something that is not exactly in the positive realm, because we talked about wanting to be positive, but we also have to paint an accurate picture. So as much as we would love to sit here and say nothing but positive things throughout the entire show today, we're going to have to talk about the 20 players that have been the least valuable on the Jets this season. You have this up at jetsxfactor.com. Let's start at the beginning of this list. Number 20 is Neville Hewitt. Number 19 is Connor McGovern. Number 18 is Jordan Jenkins. Number 17 is Lamar Jackson. Number 16 is Josh Malone. There's a difference in a handful of these guys. With Neville Hewitt, I don't think that anybody really expected him to be any kind of difference maker. Clearly, that would be the case with Josh Malone and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson brought in as an undrafted rookie. And then you have Jordan Jenkins and Connor McGovern. There was a lot more expected from both of those guys. Jordan Jenkins expected to be at least a solid edge rusher. Connor McGovern expected to be an above average center. Neither of those things have happened so far this season.
Yeah, definitely with those two guys, and I think that's really the core of the Jets' struggles this season. There are a lot of players just performing well below their usual expectations. These two guys are a couple of them, and Jenkins hasn't been a good player in his career, but you could argue he's been okay at times, but this season he has not been that. Only 8% pressure rate, 8.4%, that is 58th out of 81 qualified edge rushers, and his edge setting has not been good. Teams have victimized him on quite a few option plays, end arounds, things like that, and he's bitten on the wrong thing and let those plays get by him. And then McGovern, it's been odd to see what McGovern has been doing this season, because it's not physical. He looks okay. He's been run blocking decently, which is what he did last year. And in protection, he doesn't really get beat one-on-one. It's just picking up blitzes and stunts and the mental part of the game, which is where he was really good last year for the Broncos. So it's weird to see that decline from him. Maybe it's just chemistry. Maybe it's the lack of a preseason and an offseason, enjoying a new team with everything that's happened this year. Maybe you can attribute it to that, but whatever it is, McGovern has allowed the second most pressures among centers this year with 20. He allowed 15 all of last year in 16 games, so it was already eclipsed that by 5 in the first half of the season. So Jets definitely need a lot more from him, especially considering he's going to be around next year on that contract. He's not going anywhere, so they definitely need to see more from him.
The next five players on the list: Henry Anderson, Chuma Adoga, Chris Hogan, Jeff Smith, and Ryan Griffin. Jeff Smith is a guy that was sort of a flyer. He's had a few moments here and there, but you've gotten more or less what you would have expected from him. Chris Hogan's another one, a veteran, but somebody that's bounced around from team to team for a reason. Here's where it gets interesting, though. Henry Anderson had a pretty good first year with the Jets. They signed him to an extension, and ever since then, he's been terrible. I guarantee you that Joe Douglas is counting down the days until he can release Henry Anderson and not have to worry about a punitive cap hit. Chuma Adoga, somebody who was drafted in the third round last year, some people thought that he could potentially develop into a starter, but he's been awful. And then at number 11, Ryan Griffin, another disappointment. Played pretty well last year, but has done next to nothing this year.
Yeah, Ryan Griffin's definitely been one of the many disappointments. But I mean, Griffin had that ankle surgery, and he talked about in the offseason that he didn't feel the same, that he might not ever be the same. And definitely seems that way. He hasn't been able to get open at all. He's last among qualified tight ends in yards per route run this season, only 5 catches this season on 84 routes run. So it's been a tough season for him for sure. And I guess what he was saying, he was definitely being truthful about it, because the receiving production just hasn't been there for him this season. So it just one of many disappointments at the skill positions. And there's another guy at the same position who we will talk about, who somehow has been even more disappointing than Griffin. But for Griffin, I think the Jets definitely hoped he'd be that solid tight end too, give you a couple touchdowns here and there in the red zone, be a good short yardage guy, some short first down pickups, but that really hasn't. He has 1 first down catch this season. So he's been, and he's been playing. Like I said, he's 84 routes run this season. So that's over 10 per game. He's only given them 1 first down. So definitely been a disappointing season for him.
The next 5 on the list, Alex Lewis, who has been absolutely terrible in pass protection, one of the worst guards in the league in that category. Alec Ogletree, who looked so unbelievably slow when he played for the Jets this season. It's amazing to think that just a couple of years ago, he was actually a Pro Bowler. It doesn't seem like that could be possible. Joe Flacco, you knew what you were getting here. 35-year-old coming off of neck surgery. He's a shell of what he once was. No surprise there. Josh Andrews, who we thought might be solid depth, he's been absolutely awful as a guard for the Jets filling in. And Bless Austin. Bless Austin hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been anything close to what people were hoping for. He was a 6th-round pick, and so when he played well last year for a couple of games, people got their hopes up. But in reality, he's essentially a rotation piece, which is not bad value for a 6th-round pick, but he's certainly not proving to be one of the long-term answers at cornerback.
Yeah, and like you said, as a 6th-round pick, if you get a 6th-round pick who even plays in the league, it's above average, let alone give you a decent stretch like he did last season. But he set the bar really high, and he hasn't been able to come close to meeting it this season. The missed tackles have been the biggest thing. He's got the 3rd most with 10 missed tackles among quarterbacks this season. And then in coverage, he hasn't, I mean, the first few games of the season, he didn't give up too much, but I think we're starting to see things kind of even out a little bit these past couple games, because he's been getting beat. The throws haven't always been there. There have been 4 drops into his coverage this season that have bailed him out. Against the Bills, he gave up a 22-yard touchdown pass that was called back. And then against the Chiefs, things kind of are going back up to where they should be. He was really victimized in this game quite a bit. Obviously gave up the big touchdown. I believe a couple of touchdowns in this game. So he struggled this season. His coverage grade at PFF is at the 10th percentile among cornerbacks. Like I said, missed tackles, he's 3rd, got the 3rd most at the position. So it's definitely not been the breakout season that I thought he would have. I was a big fan of him and thought he was going to have really established himself as a good starter for this team, but that hasn't panned out at all. But like you said, if he can be your 4th, 5th corner going forward, I mean, he does offer some length. And look, this is his 2nd season, still hasn't started a full 16 games worth of starts, so he can still improve. But even if he could just be a depth piece for you in the 6th round, you got to consider that a win.
The final 5 on this list, Avery Williamson, who has now been traded, looked to be a shell of himself. He was injured last year and was absolutely abysmal in pass coverage this season. Bradley McDougald, I'm going to paraphrase Paul Heyman on this one. He came, he saw, he sucked, he got hurt, he's on injured reserve. That pretty much sums up Bradley McDougald's tenure here with the Jets. Pierre Desir, the only positive thing you could say about him is at least he's not Tremaine Johnson. Chris Herndon, this is a guy that we had very high hopes for. Everybody assumed that after he had some flashes his rookie season that he was going to be a top 10 tight end. He got suspended last year, then got hurt immediately, so he missed the entire season. This year, everything that could go wrong for him has. He can't catch the ball, and on the rare occasions that he does, he fumbles it. I can't even imagine a tight end playing worse than Christopher Herndon has, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone at the end of the season. And then Sam Darnold. There's no other way to say it, but Sam Darnold has been very bad so far this year. We could talk about why that's been the case or if he's part of the solution going forward, but as far as how he has played so far this season, there's no real debate on that one. He's played very poorly.
Yeah, and it's really disappointing. I was a huge Darnold fan from the time they drafted him throughout the entirety of his first 2 seasons. I really thought this was going to be a breakout season for him, but things change. He's not the same player that he used to be. His weaknesses have become even more profound. His strengths are not showing up as frequently as they were, and he's developed new weaknesses that really weren't problems for him. So you just have to be honest. And even though he doesn't have the best situation, just independent of that, he's a much worse player than he was and a much worse player than he needs to be to be a franchise quarterback, and for the Jets to pass up on Trevor Lawrence or even Justin Fields if they don't land number one. But Darnold being number one on this list for me, I mean, it just comes down to the fact that he plays the game's most important position, and he's been the worst starter in the league at that position. He's last among qualifiers in yards per attempt, net yards per attempt, passer rating, passing yards per game, DVOA, has the second lowest touchdown pass rate, second worst PFF passing grade, second worst QBR, third worst adjusted completion percentage. His passing conversion rate, percentage of passes for a first down or touchdown, that's the worst in the league, and on pace to be the worst versus league average in the past 27 seasons, which is as long as that stat is available. So really, in any way you look at it, he's been the worst starting quarterback in the league this season. And the thing that's most important is that the film backs it up. Last couple seasons, he didn't put up good numbers, but he looked I thought he looked a lot better than those numbers suggested, especially second half of last season and the final four games of 2018. But this season, the guy you see on film is the exact same guy you see in these numbers. That's how well he's played this season. And these past two games since he came back, not as bad as some of his worst performances at the beginning of the season, just because the Jets haven't given him as many open receivers to not get the ball to. But the Colts game, the Broncos game, and the Bills game are the first Bills game are three of the worst games of his entire career. He just left so many plays on the field, way more than he ever has in any other game. Maybe go back to a couple early in his rookie year, but definitely more than any last year. So, I mean, it's so disappointing. I really thought, and it's, again, not entirely his fault. It's mostly on the Jets for struggling to not building around him correctly, hiring the wrong coach, and you know, not giving him offensive line help, receiver help, all the stuff in the book. But this is the reality. Sam Darnold right now is probably the worst starting quarterback in the league until he proves otherwise.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Michael, last order of business. The Jets have made some trades recently. They haven't gotten a lot in return for the players that they've shipped off. Steve McClendon, Jordan Willis, Avery Williamson. But the fact is the Jets did get something, which is more than we expected. And the value here, I think, is a lot better than a lot of people realize. Tell me a little bit about what you dug up as far as the value that Joe Douglas was able to get in these trades.
Yeah, well, with these three trades, with Jordan Willis, Steve McClendon, now Avery Williamson, essentially Douglas took 3 7th-round picks and turned them into 2 6th-round picks and a 5th-round pick, which is a nice turnout for three players who were not going to be around next season anyway. McClendon and Williamson, free agents. McClendon, very old. He's going to be 35 years old, and Williamson hasn't played well this season at all. And Willis is a fringe player who wasn't even playing for them as the worst team in the league. So to get anything for them is really good. But being able to do what he did, 2 5th or 2 6th and a 5th compared to 3 7ths is a pretty big upgrade. You look at approximate value at Pro Football Reference, which kind of looks at a player's long-term value, how much they play, how well they play, contributing to winning. So in terms of approximate value, AV per season for 3 7th-round picks, those three picks are expected to give you 1.7 AV per season. But the package the Jets got in return, 2 6th-rounders and a 5th-rounder, 3.2 AV per season. So that's an increase of over 80%. So they almost doubled the value of three draft picks by giving up three players who they weren't going to have next year anyway. So really good work by Douglas. And look, that's not a substantial increase. 5th-round pick, 6th-round pick still are not expected to give you very much, but they're definitely expected to give you substantially more than a 7th-rounder is. So to turn those three into 2 6ths and a 5th, almost doubling the value of what, the expected value of what you're going to get out of those three selections.
Much better value than most people realize, as I said. And I think that at this point of the season, especially with the Jets being 0-8, being able to get anything for players that you know you're going to be moving on from at the end of the season is a smart move. Good value by Joe Douglas, but not as good as the value that you can get over at MyBookie. Between the NFL, college football, MMA, boxing, there's tons of stuff to bet on. Thousands of lines available on all your favorite sports and events, so you can turn your game day into a payday with MyBookie. Just sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use the promo code OVERTIME, and you can get yourself a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. You can bet on the Jets this coming Monday against the Patriots. You can bet on the Patriots against the Jets. You can bet on any of the props, or you can bet on the full slate of games Saturday for college football, Sunday for the NFL. Whatever you want, it's all there at MyBookie. Use the promo code OVERTIME, and you can claim your bonus when you make your first deposit. Michael Nania doing a great job giving us the stats, as always. Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. I know you've got tons of stuff that you're working on as we speak. Literally, as we're talking, you're typing and getting your next article ready for JetsXFactor.com. So what do you got cooking over there?
That's actually completely true. I was literally typing while you were saying that. But Sam Darnold grades, as I do every week. Interested to see this game. I haven't done it yet. I think this will probably be his second best game of the season after San Francisco. But considering that this was still a very unproductive game, goes to show the kind of season that it's been. But the rankings that we discussed, top 20 worst players, that's out. I'm probably going to do the opposite of that. The best players of the season. I don't know if I can do top 20 best players, because I don't know if there have been 20 good players, but maybe top 10 best. But that will definitely be coming. So plenty of stuff as usual, and defensive film. I think there are going to be some really good defensive plays to look at in this game. Quinnen Williams, Franco Myers, again, these two guys keep showing up. So a lot of defensive film. So plenty of stuff coming out as usual. And Joe Blewett and Robbie Sabo doing their thing as well with the film. They're constantly at it with great breakdowns. So same old at JetX.
Go ahead and check out Michael's work over at JetsXFactor.com, along with the great work of Robbie Sabo and Joe Blewett. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.